It is January 26, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. One of my former Eagle Scouts, who attended the World Scout Jamboree in Japan in 2015 with the help of readers of this newsletter, was laid off from his consulting firm job on the West Coast at the end of 2022 and is looking for a new opportunity. In his previous role, he was a full-stack developer, project manager, consultant, and business analyst. He is a University of Illinois graduate with a bachelor's degree in computer science and economics who is looking for opportunities in the climate tech and sustainability space. He is a bright young man and a solid citizen. If you have an interest in him or suggestions for firms he might contact, please give me a call. In our recent interview at FIA Expo 2022 with former CME executive William Nottenbelt, he mentioned something he said in his earlier interview with us for the History of Financial Futures series, that one of the things that helped liquidity in the Asian market hours grow was the tweeting of then-President Donald Trump. Well, Mr. Trump is not president anymore, but Meta has agreed to reinstate his Facebook and Instagram accounts. This comes after the now Elon Musk-owned Twitter reinstated his Twitter account after these accounts had been suspended in the wake of the January 6th Capitol riot. Bloomberg is reporting that British cybersecurity officials are warning that hacking groups linked to Russia and Iran are duping people into clicking malicious links by impersonating journalists and experts. I am not part of a hacking group, but there are those that will tell you I've been impersonating a journalist for years. I will say I do a pretty good Matt Leising impersonation. There is an interesting story in the New Yorker titled, What's the Matter with Men? It mentions a book by author and scholar Richard V. Reeves titled, Of Boys and Men, Why the Modern Male is Struggling, Why It Matters, and What to Do About It. On Saturday, NASA discovered an asteroid that is going to pass by the Earth today, but we'll miss it. It is the size of a delivery truck. It will pass the Earth lower than communication satellites, the Guardian reported. I'm not sure what's going on in Finland, but it appears it is not enough hanky-panky. As Bloomberg reports, Finland records fewest births in 150 years, ending pandemic bump. Besides the slump in births, Bloomberg said Finland also recorded the largest number of deaths since World War II. ICE is looking for a senior risk analyst in London for a hybrid position. Details are available in today's newsletter. The latest edition of the LME trading calendar is available now in a printable format, and it shows all exchange holidays, non-LME prompts, third Wednesdays, and the dates for LME week out to 2033. Cboe Global Markets is looking for a VP, Chief Legal Officer of Canada. Details are available in today's newsletter with a link. Bruce Blythe started a new position as Senior Writer and Editor, Insights in Education at Charles Schwab. Congratulations, Bruce, and good luck. Peter Clifford is starting a new position as a research affiliate at Regulatory Genome Project, Cambridge Judge Business School. Congratulations, Peter. Morgan Housel, in an essay for Collaborative, The Art and Science of Spending Money, discusses 13 principles that motivate the way we spend money, All the principles are insightful, but with special merit for me is principle number 8, an underappreciation of the long-term costs of purchases with too much emphasis on the initial price. Citing home ownership as an example, Housel says, price is easy to calculate. It's just whatever you paid initially and sold for eventually. Cost is harder to figure out. They tend to be slow drip over time, which are easy to ignore, but add up quickly. He adds that in that case, long-term returns are dim. The essay is adapted from Housel's book, The Psychology of Money, Timeless Lessons on Wealth, Greed, and Happiness. Moody Analytics is hosting a virtual event, 2023 ESG and Sustainable Finance Outlook, AMER EMEA edition, on January 31st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A live panel will discuss key ESG trends to watch in 2023, their credit implications, and critical factors shaping global sustainable debt markets. You can learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, from Bloomberg, the headline: we asked ChatGPT to make a market-beating ETF. Here's what happened. Unpredictable stocks make design fund impossible. AI says machine-powered AIEQ has returned double S&P 500 this year. What happens when you ask the hottest AI tool in the world to design an ETF that can beat the U.S. equity market? It tells you the same thing every frustrated stock manager does. In a bid to see how close technology really is to replacing Wall Street's army of analysts, experts, and money runners, we challenge ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence tool that's taking the internet by storm, to create us a winning portfolio for the U.S. stock market. My comment: what if we asked it to take some risk? What then? Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Pritzker says he's sorry. Ken Griffin left Chicago. Governor J.P. Pritzker is currently rubbing elbows with the global elite at this year's World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, but took time out to chat with CNBC's Squawk Box about his presence at the conference and about what else? The departure of Ken Griffin and Citadel. As flagged by Rich Miller at Capital Facts, the conversation also touched on crime and its impact on business, including that call out by McDonald's CEO Kempczinski. My comment: Ken, I didn't mean it. Please come back. We need you here in Illinois and Chicago. I'm not sure if that's going to work, JB. Here's another story, this one from Popular Mechanics. A catastrophic mutating event will strike the world in 2 years, report says. The 2023 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, has filled us with lots of uplifting predictions, like how companies will soon decode our brainwaves. The latest warns of a global catastrophic cyber event in the very near future. The 2023 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, has filled us with lots of uplifting predictions, like how companies will soon decode our brainwaves. The latest warns us of a catastrophic cyber event in the very near future. My comment: here's a quote from the story. 93% of cyber leaders and 86% of cyber business leaders believe that the geopolitical instability makes a catastrophic cyber event likely in the next 2 years. Here's a story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: what the poet, playboy, and prophet of bubbles can still teach us. Charles McKay was wrong about a lot, but his wild life and times hold many lessons. One winter morning in early 1637, a sailor presented himself at the counting house of a wealthy Dutch merchant and was offered a hearty breakfast of fine red herring. The sailor noticed an onion lying on the counter, thinking it, no doubt, very much out of place among silks and velvets. he slyly seized the opportunity and slipped it into his pocket as a relish for his herring. According to a Scottish writer telling the tale 2 centuries later, he got clear off with his prize and proceeded to the quay to eat his breakfast. My comment. When I was a cub reporter for Commodity News Services, Knight Ridder Financial News, I asked my sources what books I should read to learn about the markets. The first book that was recommended to me was Charles McKay's Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. It's still a great book. Here are the top 3 stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the New York Post. Senator Josh Hawley introduces Pelosi Act to ban lawmakers from trading stocks. Second was Exchange Analytics course catalog with its new offerings for 2023. Third was music financing boom reverberates to the markets. The Financial Times story about the Chicago-based startup Clouty, which was also our Markets Wiki page of the day. Here are the top 3 stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from Bloomberg. NYSE mayhem traced to a staffer who left backup system running. The error led to wild price swings when trading opened Tuesday. Firms are already submitting claims to recoup potential losses. More than 700 miles from Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange's backup data center on Cermak Road in Chicago is supposed to safeguard U.S. markets, standing by at all hours in case disaster ever strikes the world's largest venue for trading shares. When markets are closed, it participates in a well-worn routine with NYSE staffers turning on and off systems to ensure everything works. But heading into Tuesday, an NYSE employee failed to properly shut down Cermak's disaster recovery system, leading to a disaster. Here's a story from Reuters via the New York Post. SEC takes new shot to pass trader conflict rule tabled after 2008 crisis. Wall Street's top regulator on Wednesday unanimously voted to propose a rule barring traders in asset-backed securities from betting against the very assets they sell to investors, behavior that became infamous in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. The rule is among the last to be adopted under the landmark Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform legislation of 2010, according to SEC officials. The 2010 legislation sought to address the root causes of the mortgage crisis. An earlier version of the conflicts rule, first proposed in 2011, was never finalized. The sweeping 2010 reforms, named for their sponsors, Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut and Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts, aim to protect investors and taxpayers by preventing the buildup of risk and liability in the financial system. And then finally, here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Morgan Stanley fines its bankers over messaging breaches. Morgan Stanley fines some of its own bankers more than $1 million each for conducting business on WhatsApp and other messaging platforms, the latest fallout from an industry-wide probe that saw U.S. regulators impose the record penalties for monitoring lapses. My comment. There is also a Wall Street Journal version of the story. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.